What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jack, summer tour. We told everyone we was going to make an announcement. Mm-hmm. You want to let them know where we're going?
I'll let you tell them.
Oh, well, June 3rd, we'll be in Detroit. June 4th, we'll be in Chicago. Pre-sale tickets are available now using code SMOKE.
Code SMOKE.
You got that part?
Got that part.
Tickets go on sale tomorrow, noon Eastern, for the public. Make sure you grab them.
Hurry up.
Don't be late.
Don't be outside watching the show from outside. Yeah, because we're going to be turned up.
These are our first two stops.
Yeah.
We have some more stops coming, but appreciate everyone who told us where to come. Chicago and Detroit, y'all showed out the most, so we're going to show up to your city first.
Man, y'all been asking for the tour. Here it is. Let's make it happen. Turn up.
June 3rd, we'll be in Detroit.
June 4th, Chicago. Get the tickets. Me and Matt, All the Smoke. You never know who else is going to pop up.
You know somebody's going to pop up.
You better be there. This episode of All the Smoke is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's that time of the year. The NBA postseason is here.
Are you going with the favorites, the dark horses, or the underdogs? Anything can happen. The battles are hot. The stakes are high, and the cash prizes are huge.
Get off the bench and get into the game with DraftKings Sportsbook. Here's the deal.
Right now, all new customers who bet just $5 on anything, that's right, anything, will get $150 in bonus bets instantly. So what are you waiting for?
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Sign up using the promo code SMOKE. Keep the good vibes rolling and use your $150 in bonus bets on DraftKings Same Game Parlay for a shot at even bigger payouts.
Again, new customers can bet just $5 on anything and receive $150 in bonus bets instantly with code SMOKE. The crown is yours.
This episode of All the Smoke is brought to you by Coors Light. Between work, social media, and the choices life throws our way, it's no wonder we're more worked up.
It's true. Life throws curveballs, and we battle adversity every day. But we pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and make the best of things. And Coors Light is here to celebrate those who rise above and choose a chill mindset.
That's right. We choose to chill. Tough loss in the blacktop? Why not settle the scores with an ice-cold peace offering?
I like when you found a possum in your kitchen. Sure, it's surprising. But you rose up. You found a way to get that home invader out, didn't you?
That's right. Then I made the choice to choose chill. I reached for Coors Light because it's a mountain-cold refreshment. That day wasn't ruined. It had only just begun.
When you choose to rise above it all, choose chill. Choose Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/smoke. That's CoorsLight.com/smoke. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome back, All the Smoke LA. Jack, man, when I found out we got these two, I couldn't believe it. I pinched myself. And they came bearing gifts, too.
And they're cold, so no, drinks. That means I have to try one.
We got some edibles. We got ashtrays. We got grinders. Man, welcome to the show, Legendary. Cheech and Chong, man.
Thank you very much.
It's nice. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Yes, well, thank you guys for being here. We're going to get into your just the ground setting and trend setting things you guys did in your past. But how's current life? What's going on with you guys today?
Today, first I woke up and then here I am. We're doing a bunch of things, man. We got this business going that's kicking ass, you know. We've got it all over the country now. Yeah. Yeah, we were doing what you were talking about, revitalizing other pot shops and rebranding them. So that's going good. And what else? We just did.
We're both married to real strong women, so we don't do a whole lot of anything.
No.
we just say, how does this look? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the power of a strong mind. You know, you get one of those strong women.
See, that's a perk. You know.
Yeah. Still touring, though, right?
No.
No?
No, we know. We finally, when I went into the monitors at one show, cut the shit out of myself and messed up my knee.
That's about it.
He didn't want to do the wheelchair thing. And we told him, are you kidding? At the airport, man, do the wheelchair thing. Because then they put you on first, right, and anybody with you.
Yeah.
You get on first.
We had to convince them.
The strippers do it everywhere now.
Oh, the strippers do?
Yeah, if you go to the airport, the strippers done figured it out. They act like they hurt, and they get on the plane first. If you know,
the strippers are taking over
with that one. Yeah, yeah, they doing that a lot in the airport.
Yeah,
especially in Miami.
The strippers are smart. I ran into this guy the other day. My wife is Russian, born and raised in St. Petersburg, Russian. All these Russians are so beautiful and educated. And you know, my wife just got her doctorate from SE in music. And blah, 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 blah. He says, yeah, all the Russians I know are strippers. So there's the other side, you know.
Well, they're smart.
Yeah, they're smart, yeah.
Speaking of strippers, you guys remember LaWanda Page?
Yeah.
Aunt Esther on
Red Fox.
Red Fox.
Yes.
Remember Aunt Esther?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Google her.
Google her.
Don't tell me she used to drop
she
the
used to
high.
Be. She used to be a top stripper.
Yeah.
Exotic dancer.
I
worked with her.
LaWanda Page.
In Canada in the 50s.
Yeah.
And she had an act where she had a live boa snake.
Yeah, snake, yeah.
And the trouble is, the snake died, but she kept using it.
Yeah.
You gotta Google her, LaWanda Page. She was this funny, tall, gorgeous, beautiful woman, but she had a sense of humor that was killer back
then. She was funny, yeah.
I knew her then. Yeah, she kept that snake.
What was that other one? Norma.
Norma
Miller. Miller. Norma Miller, who was with Red Fox too. And she was a dancer in the
well, the jive, you know, the bebop.
Yeah.
The old bebop right at the end of the war, you know, and jazz and dancing was the thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, Norma Miller was Norman one Miller. Of those.
I saw a documentary when she shows her dancing in the day. Man, she was it.
Yeah.
And so she ended up being a MC at Red Fox's comedy club. Yeah. And so the first time that Cheech and I were ever on stage, ever in a comedy setting, was at Red Fox's club. And so Norma says, what's your name? And so we told her, you know, Cheech and Chong. And so when it's time to announce her, she goes, and ladies and gentlemen, here they are. Give it up for Geek and Gank.
Geek and Gank. I said, who do you want to be tonight, Geek or Gank, man? I'll be the other guy.
Geek or Gank. And Lenny Bruce's whole entourage was there. Lenny had just died a couple of months earlier, and his entourage used to follow him everywhere. They had nowhere to follow.
Nobody to follow.
And so they were at the comedy club when we were there, and Tony Vaccara, Lenny Bruce's
Lenny Bruce's father-in-law.
He was a young Chicano that married Lenny's mother, Sally Marr.
I think Sally he was 19, lied and said she was like
40 and she was like 60. Yeah. and Tony lied, said he was 30 when he was like 18. And they got married and they went on a year honeymoon. And that at the end of the year, you know, they decided, you know, the age thing and everything, but they remained really good friends. And so Tony was Lenny Bruce's road manager. And he was the one that bought Lenny the heroin that took him out. Yeah. And so after we got to know Tony saw us right away, he adopted us. And he became our manager, although we had to support him.
Well, that's the way it works with managers, man.
And I asked Tony, I said, you know, because he was the one that gave Lenny the mm-hmm. start. And so I said to Tony, I said, what's the big deal with heroin? What is it? It's taken out so many people. And Tony didn't say a word. He reached in his pocket and pulled out a packet of heroin and gave it to me. What? And so I took it, put it in my pocket, as I always do. Mm-hmm. And then I hid it in my sock drawer. And then about a month later, I took it out and flushed it down the toilet.
Very good. Good move.
I said, this took out too many people.
Must be too many.
It's going to crush me. I knew that if I did anything, I just flushed it down the toilet.
Good move.
Great move.
Tell us about Up in Jokes, debuts soon.
Well, one of the things that we noticed was we opened some dispensaries in Boston.
Uh-huh.
And when we were there, I looked around, man, this would make a great comedy club. Because what the thing about comedy clubs, you just need a place that's warm with a little stage and a mic. Yeah. Not even a stage. You just need a microphone. And so we're going to start doing comedy and Up in Jokes. And we're going to get all the new Cheech and Chong type or anybody, you know, that wants to go on stage. And then we're going to introduce the world to some...
And then charge them 10%.
Oh, more than
we're going to be the managers now.
More than that.
Flip the game.
Gotta make sense.
It's the business now.
We learned.
Yeah, so Up in Jokes is going to be, you know, it would be like what dispensaries should be, whether they are or not. See, I was never really... Even though we had a cannabis cafe in one of our movies. What was it? Still Smoking?
Still Smoking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we built a cannabis cafe in Amsterdam. And when we, you know, we finished the movie, the guy kept the cafe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he kept it going.
What's the name of it?
It was Bogar's Yacht, man. That was that guy, the artist, Bogar.
Yeah.
That made the backwards watches.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was the guy. But I don't know that. What did we call it? Do you remember?
I don't know.
Pot Cafe?
I don't know. Something. Yeah, it had a name on it. I can't remember.
Yeah, Pot Cafe, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah. But times have changed. And now Amsterdam's.
Bulldogs.
It's almost illegal there.
You really?
Yeah, it flipped around.
Really? I just came from there and I stayed at the dispensary, the restaurant. Cafe the whole day and smoked all day every day. It's like
yeah, isn't that nice?
I love Amsterdam.
That's nice. Amsterdam was great.
Yeah,
when we shot a movie there, you know, they heard I directed it. You know, and they heard, oh man, Chong's coming. You know, so all the big potheads in Amsterdam, they got together. You know, and we're going to take Chong out for a night. I made it for about a half hour.
It's different.
They literally had to carry me.
Yeah,
to my room and put me on the bed.
I saw two people pass out.
And the
out.
Next morning, they still haven't been to bed. They're still partying, smoking. Man, those Russian, those Dutch guys, man.
They go hard.
Oh.
I was in a cafe out there one time smoking, and I saw two people kind of just lose consciousness, and they carried them outside, lifted them upside down, and poured like water on their neck and on their head, and they came back to life.
Oh, really?
Like, that must be the tradition. Like, it was
the
two
Dutch
of them.
Treat, man.
Yeah, man. They poured them.
I don't want to be that high.
Hold them upside down and poured water here and on their face, yeah, and they started coming back to life like some fish. I was like, what the fuck is going on here, bro? I'm good, right?
Well, Amsterdam was crazy back then.
I couldn't imagine.
They had squatters.
Has it always been, not to cut you off, has it always been legal out there, I'm guessing?
Yeah, it comes and goes.
Yeah, okay. Yes,
yeah. Depends on, you know, who you got in power. Right now, they got sort of, they're leaning toward the right wing kind of thing. So, see, Amsterdam was always what everybody else was doing. They would do the opposite.
Okay.
You know, that's really their nature.
Interesting. You guys announced also that you guys have a biopic.
Yeah.
Dropping. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Finally.
No.
No. Was my supposed to say yeah? Yeah. Yeah. The biopic.
See, a biopic, doesn't have to be in it.
Yeah. I'm dead already in this biopic.
If he's in it,
my kids take over.
If he's in it or if he's going to be in it, he'll scroll down to his part, learn it.
bullshit. My line. Okay.
That's funny. So when did that be dropping? And
I don't know.
March?
Oh, coming up.
We're going to be doing it in March.
No.
But the bio. It's not a biopic. It's actually a documentary.
It's a documentary.
Oh, documentary. Okay.
Yeah. It's more of a documentary, but after the it's called Cheech and Chong's last movie.
Okay.
And so it's going to be. It's a it started out to be a documentary, but the guy Dave that does it, he's done a lot of good movies like Sling Blade and a few of those, and so him and his editors, they took it and they made it a real movie.
Okay.
And they got us in there fighting and
oh really,
and so the people that have seen it have really liked reacted it. To it. You know?
This episode of All the Smoke is brought to you by the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. 6 months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament.
For this, the rules are simple. Win and get in. 8 teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament. This tournament is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When your child fights sleep, it can feel like a battle you'll never win. Imagine a bedtime routine you all look forward to, where you cuddle in and let the stress of the day melt away. Welcome to Sleep Tight Stories, a calming weekly podcast that brings bedtime stories, cuddles, and comfort to families worldwide. The stories are quirky, relatable, and spark wonder without overstimulation, so listeners can fall asleep and stay asleep. Each episode is narrated by me, Cheryl McLeod, a second grade teacher, and written by my husband, Clark, an eternal second grader at heart. Tune in tonight and bond over a story before drifting off to sleep. Make bedtime the sweetest part of your day. Sleep Tight Stories. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode of All the Smoke is sponsored by the Game Time app. The thrill and excitement of playoff basketball and the concert season is upon us. If you're looking to get in on the action in person, Game Time has you covered. Keep track of the playoff schedules and the concerts with the Game Time app to secure your tickets. This week is 420. Our favorite holiday. And good friend of the show in LA's own Ice Cube is performing at the Forum with the legendary lineup. E-40, Too Short, Scarface, Xzibit, and Mac-10. A packed out show I wouldn't want to miss. When I looked at the tickets last week, they are starting just under $100 on the Game Time app. And if I find the same tickets for less somewhere else, Game Time will credit me with 110% of the difference. So if you're like me looking for tickets at the last minute, here's a pro tip. You get up to 60% off with the Game Time app. Take all the guesswork out of buying tickets with the Game Time app. So download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code SMOKE for $20 off your first purchase. Terms may apply. Again, create an account and redeem code SMOKE for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices, guaranteed.
Cheech, you grew up a straight A student, son of a police officer. Yeah. Charles, you grew up a biracial in Calgary. Can y'all speak on y'all upbringings? Tell us a little about how y'all grew up.
Yeah, in Calgary. Yeah, Calgary.
I wasn't born in Calgary. I went to Calgary when I went to Canada. Yeah.
I got deported out of Calgary.
Yeah.
said, I did. I literally, we had a band. We had the first soul band in Western Canada.
The Shades.
And we got so popular.
Was it the Shades?
First of all, I
was it the Shades?
Huh?
The Shades, that band?
The Shades.
Everybody was a different color. In the band.
That's why they call it the Shades.
That's what we call ourselves, the Shades.
That's right. Dope. That's dope.
But we were all athletes.
Yeah.
Like we had a sax player that could have been a pro football player, you know, tight end. And the singer was a star running back that they were grooming him for the pros, Tommy Milton. This guy's thing was that you kick the ball to him, he'd run it back for a touchdown for the junior. And so he became the singer, and my brother was a linebacker at the time. And so my brother became the bass player because we needed a car. He couldn't play bass, but he
needed a car. Yeah.
So we had a lot of, and the piano player, Bernie, he was like he played football too, but he was more of a bodybuilder, you know, Mr. Everything. And so we had a tough ass band, but we were so popular. Oh, and I don't know how everything that happened to me is very serendipity. For some reason, I know what happened.
It wasn't serendipity.
I got caught with a friend of mine stole the car, and it stalled near my house. So he called me up. He said, I got a car, but it's not running. And so I went down to help him get the car started. And of course, the cops caught us. And I ran home. We ran home. And they follow the footprints.
In the snow.
They got you.
So I went to
Canada
jail.
Canada raises geniuses.
It raises geniuses.
I went to jail for the first time that night. Both of us did. Yeah. And it was funny, too, because we both jumped into bed, you know, with our clothes on. And the cop came to the door. And my mom says, oh, they've been here all night. And the cop said, excuse me, ma'am. Walk by. Walk, follow the snow into our bedroom.
The tracks were in the house.
Yeah. Took us to jail. Well, when we got in the end, it was called joyriding, $100 fine. But my social kind of mind said, well, the reason people get in trouble in Calgary, there was nothing for teenagers to do. Yeah. And so I went to the magistrate, center. The magistrate that sentenced me, you know, I went and I had a talk with him, you know, just knocked on his door one day and I went in and talked to him, and I told him there's nothing for kids to do. And he looked at me, he says, weren't you just in front of me? And I said, yes. And he says, the kids need something to do? He says, well, go find something to do. He says, go do it.
Right.
It's your idea. And so I started a teen club, the Shades Teen Club. It was a stroke of genius because we got everything donated. We got a hall donated in the right downtown, the Legion Hall, the best hall you could get. And so our band, that's where we started playing. And so our band was first R&B, first time they heard Chuck Berry or Bo Diddley or anything in Calgary. And we've had people coming from everywhere in Alberta packing the place. The trouble is they shut us down at midnight. At midnight, you got all these rock and roll people with nothing to do. In Calgary, so they went and just terrorized the city. And so the cops called us into the office 2 weeks before Christmas, 1958. And they said, you guys got to get the hell out of town.
Really?
Yeah.
For good? For how long? Like
forever. Really? And so we looked at each other. We said, yeah. Because, we're young.
Right.
And so we went to Vancouver. And that's when my career really started, was in Vancouver.
Interesting.
Because that's all we did was play music and then sleep all night, and, work all night and then sleep all day.
And what episode? LA?
I did the exactly same thing. We got arrested and for stealing
cars. Out here doing different things?
Yeah, and when we met, we started telling each other, that's exactly the same story. Right. We should get together.
Right. And how did you, I read how you Was it you didn't want to go to the war, so you took off to Canada?
I did.
So tell us about that part.
No.
You don't want to?
No, I don't want to.
You don't want to share today?
Okay, I will.
Just leave it.
I was.
He gets nervous because when we first snuck, we had to sneak into Canada. LA.
Chicago to sneak be into the U.S. from Canada.
Right.
They weren't expecting a Mexican sneaking in from Canada. So we'd be on stage and I'd say, any FBI people here tonight?
No, fuck.
Cheech would say, shut up, man. Shut up.
No bullshit, man. The FBI was after me. And so anyway, I was part of the draft resistance movement under David Harris and our
Muhammad Ali. Tell him.
Muhammad Ali signed my draft card.
Really?
M. Ali, I'm with you if you with me.
Wow. And that's when you quit, right?
No, that's I was like my last semester in school at Cal State Northridge, Valley State at the time. It was Valley State back then.
Okay.
And I took a pottery class because there's this really cute girl who says, what are you doing for this class? I don't know. I'm going to take pottery with me. Oh, okay. Boom. So I took pottery, flipped out. Pottery is my life now, and I quit all my other classes, quit my job, got a loan, and did pottery. Nothing else. So I wanted to be a potter. But at the same time, I was this draft resistor, and so they were after us. You know, they were starting to send the
crackdown.
They were starting to send people to Leavenworth and shit. And I was a student. I was a 2S student. So they changed our classifications, and then said that we're going to be the first ones drafted and sent to the front lines in Vietnam. And so I said, well, that's a really good plan. So I wanted to continue pottery. So my pottery teacher said he had this student in Canada that's starting a pottery, ex-student, and maybe he needs a. So I got on the dog and went to Canada, and I was there for the next 3 years, awaiting my pending trial that was going to come, which happened, which came 3 years later. When we came back, the case went to court and got thrown out. We knew it was going to happen. You know, they got thrown out. That week, they sent me another notice to appear for physical. You know, this is 3 years later. And then a week later, they sent me another notice to... But I had broken my leg really badly skiing in Canada, which I'd never skied before.
You took Mexican lessons.
Yeah.
explain what that means.
Yeah, I'm
Mexican
dying.
Mexican lessons. Oh, sir.
You need skis.
You need skis. And proper ski clothes. Those jeans won't cut it.
Hey, he was out there with jeans and a t-shirt on.
I had jeans. I had money to buy ski clothes. And so I came back. But it got thrown out. And so then we were free to do Cheech and Chong. But in the interim, man, you know, it was kind of a little dicey because I was back in the country illegally. I was illegal both ways. You know, so.
Well, there's an old joke, you know. What do you call a musician without a girlfriend? Hmm. Homeless.
Homeless.
Down the road.
And that was us.
Yeah. I heard that.
That was us. If it wasn't for girls, we wouldn't be here today.
I mean, you used to kind of see that in the movies. You hang with a lot of girls and kind of find your way. How did you guys meet, though? Like, how did you meet? Clean. You're already there.
I had a couple of clubs, again, very serendipity, nightclubs. I had two nightclubs literally given to me. Because of the band, we had the hot band, and a guy bought a nightclub or a building, and he wanted to
Shades?
This is another one.
Oh, okay.
And so they, would you like a club? Yeah, of course. So I started an after-hours club. Which that's where I met Red Fox, and that's where I met all the, you know, Motown people and everybody, you know, and it was because our band was so good that we got discovered by Diana Ross and the Supremes. They came down, and it was, again, sex has a lot to do with it, because Berry Gordy was doing Diane at the time, and so Diane said, hey, I saw this band, an incredible band. And so Barry said, okay, I'll come and check him out and get a little booty call in the meantime. So Barry showed up and he saw us, signed us, and then
Motown
forgot about us.
Then forgot about you.
Yeah. And so then we gigged our way to Detroit, and I wrote a song called Does Your Mama Know About Me? Mm-hmm. Diana Ross loved it.
Everybody recorded it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And Diana Ross recorded it. And that put me in good graces with Barry. Yeah. But then Bobby was
Taylor.
Old school rock and roll singer, you know, old school R&B singer. In other words, you had a couple of jobs when you're old school. And one was being a pimp.
First and foremost.
Yeah. And again,
purse first.
Don't have a girlfriend, purse you're first. Homeless.
Yeah.
You know, and so Bobby's mentality couldn't fit in with success on a big scale, you know. Mm-hmm. So Bobby went his way, and then I got fired from Motown. Because I had another gig to play. Well, I had to get my green card. And that's how I.
Me too.
Where are you getting your green card at? What
it
side?
It was just laying there.
Just wherever.
It was just laying there. It didn't have my name on it, but it was just laying there.
So I got my green card, and then...
And then we met. He was running his family-owned... It was a family-owned...
it was another club that was given to me. It was a dinner club in Chinatown in Vancouver. Yeah. And so I turned it into a strip club. And we're doing good. That's why I knew about LaWanda and all that, you know, because strippers were good and everything. But after I got fired from Motown, I went back to work the clubs, to put another band together, actually. And then I was watching the strippers, because I had a choice. I could work in the after-hours club or be with the naked girls. And I thought,
tough decision.
I think I'll do with the girls, you know. Right. So then I watched and I realized that they look more beautiful
when they come on with their street clothes.
Exactly.
And so I said, wow. And they're good actresses, you know, because when you're a stripper, it's an act. And so I said, I created an improvisational acting troupe with the girls still doing their strip, mm-hmm. but they would have their street clothes on. We'd do sexy bits that we got from Playboy magazine and fully clothed. And so I had a straight man. I had a partner that had long hair and a straight guy that looked like a cop. Well, he got fired because we had publicity with a publicity shot taken on the front page of the paper with Rick Lenz and the girl's titties on either side of him. and his Christian wife says, no.
He found out what he was up to.
so he called me. He said, man, I can't work anymore. And so there was a mutual fan, a Russian, that owned a hippie newspaper.
Ukrainian.
Ukrainian? Yeah, was he Ukrainian?
Todorok.
And so he told me, he was a big fan of the show, and he says, I know just the guy that you need in your show. And so I went down and I met Cheech at his the hippie newspaper thing. And when I first met Cheech, I couldn't figure out what he was. And he wasn't coming, you know, he's hiding the fact that he was Mexican, you know. Because he was,
you get to a certain age, you know.
Richard Marin. He wasn't Richard Marin. Yeah. We didn't hear the Marin until we got down.
It's all about
there.
Until he could pronounce it. Until he understood how to pronounce it.
Yeah. Okay. Are you done? Okay. So none of that's true. He was never in a band. No, we like you said, it was a friend who had this magazine called Poppin', and I was writing for the magazine. Introduced us, and Tommy's writing. When we both saw each other, we both looked at him. What are you? You know, it's like a Mongolian biker, or I thought Filipino.
He looked like a Mooney. Yeah, a little short haircut. Yeah, yeah.
I just come out of the woods, man.
He said Mongolian biker.
That's what I thought, man. Like, what? Because he was a blend of something, man.
He said he was a blend of something.
Yeah. And so he says, well, come on down. I told him I was this great writer for an improv theater. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So he says, come down and see the show. And I did. And it was okay. You know, strippers. But there's one bit that they did. It just cracked me up, you know. So I go, okay, I'll join this thing as a writer. And I started writing for the improv company. And then filling in for people that weren't there. I'd do every part in the show. So finally, you know, I could do the whole show. At the end of the day, the troupe split up and Tommy and I were ones left together. So what do we do?
Well, we performed one time for the Three Dog Night. Remember the Three Dog Night, that band?
Not familiar.
Really?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, you are a youngster, huh?
Youngsters. Yeah.
Anyway, they were very popular. They were bigger than, they had more hits than, they had like some 30 top 10 hits or something. Anyway, the drummer was my first wife, was a beautiful black lady from Calgary named Maxine. Well, her brother Floyd Sneed was the drummer of Three Dog Night. And so they came to town, and so we put a show together for them with the improv. It was the last show we did with all the girls and everything. And then Cheech and I put a band together, and then we got a gig at the Gardens, Battle of the Bands. And so we went down there to play the Battle of the Bands. We had our bass player and everybody all ready to go. But we went on and did comedy instead, you know, to begin with. We were going to do a few comedy bits and then go to music. We never got to the
went
music.
So well, huh?
We just played, did the comedy, took a bow, and then the bass player goes, oh, when's our next gig, boss?
Right, right.
Because he never played a note.
Yeah, yeah.
And then on the way home, we're driving in my dad's car, and the windshield wipers weren't working. And so we were taking turns leaning out with a coat hanger, working the windshield wipers, trying to figure out what to call ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was like Richard and Tommy, nah. Marin and Chong,
Marine.
Nah. So finally I said to Chief, I said, don't you have a nickname? And he said, Cheech.
And that was it.
Cheech and Chong. And it was never Chong and Cheech because being musicians, we knew that it scanned better, Cheech and Chong. It was more rhythmic. Yeah. And so that's what it was. Yeah.
It was Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, we're going to take over the world as soon as we can get these wipers fixed.
So obviously starting in the music space, transitioning to improv and then ultimately comedy, like who were some of your guys' earlier influences? Was it strictly music or did you like people on the comedy side as well?
Yeah, I grew up loving comedy, you know, like in every form. I used to, every comedian was on the Ed Sullivan Show or any of those guys. I loved comedy and I memorized all their routines and stuff. And my cousins and I, we some others, brothers, bye-bye Tommy. He just died. And they were heroes and Lenny Bruce and all those guys. Lenny Bruce, man. And so so we had the same frame of reference, you know, I think that because I grew up in an all-black neighborhood half my life at South Central and then an all-white neighborhood in Granada Hills. So one day everybody was black and then the next day everybody was white. What happened in the nighttime?
He went from, hey, Mexican. To excuse me, sir.
No, that was Canada. That was Canada. They said, excuse me, sir. So anyways, you know, but because, you know, when you have this, you listen to the same records, or have the same comedy influences, you know, it makes it easier because you have this background that you know where everybody's coming in. So when we got together, like, you know, we like the same people and listen to them and we're, you know, encyclopedic about them.
Long lost brothers.
Yeah. Who
would have thunk? In 71, you guys dropped your first comedy album, self-titled Cheech and Chong, ended up being nominated for 6 Grammys. You took home 1. Do you think that art of comedy has kind of lost?
No, I don't think so. I think
from an album standpoint.
Oh, albums? Yeah, probably.
Albums?
Yeah, albums are lost.
Yeah, just in general.
It's TikTok now.
Yeah.
So you instead of an hour and a half album, you got 12-second bit.
Get it done.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Isn't it funny, too, because at one time, the singles had to be under 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then MacArthur's Park come along, and it was like a 12-minute bit or something. Mm-hmm. And that changed it. And but now it's like TikTok. You know, no albums. People bring albums, and they don't. You know,
they don't know. What
I came
they
home
are.
One time. My 12-year-old son was standing in front of. I bought this old console record player that you could pick up for nothing.
He didn't know what it was
because they were useless. And I came home one day in LA. I mean, in Canada, and my son standing there with the album. Looking for a slot to stick it in.
Right, like a CD?
He didn't know how to work it.
Yeah. Ugh, that's funny.
It's funny.
What's the backstory of Basketball Jones?
Oh, that was, we're on our way to the Laker game. Do you want to tell it?
No, you tell it. No, you tell it. Because, do you want to tell it?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll tell it.
We're on our way to the Laker game. No, he always, he doesn't believe half the shit I say, you know. We're on the way to, or when he believes it, then he'll steal it.
Yeah.
So we're on our way to the Laker game, and Cheech is in the back seat. I'm in the passenger side. Nicholson is driving.
Jack Nicholson.
And Jack Nicholson. And we're late getting there, of course. And so Jack drives on the wrong way on Manchester Avenue for about 3 miles.
Damn.
On the wrong way. And Cheech is in the back singing, I got Basketball Jones. Got Basketball Jones.
There was a song called Love Jones out.
And Cheech is singing, Basketball Jones. I got basketball. And it just stuck in my mind. Oh, that's funny. We got to record that shit.
So we did the next day.
We went in there, recorded it. It was so easy.
That's the great thing about record industry in those days. I mean, you make a movie, it takes forever to make it, and then it takes forever before it comes out. In the record industry, you go in the studio, and you could be on the air the next day.
We were.
Man, so it was like fast, you know? So you could really... describe what was going on in the scene around you, and that's what made it so fresh, you know. So that was I miss records.
And we used to play basketball, you know, pickup games.
Oh, is that right?
We played at UCLA one time.
Oh yeah, that's what we went to UCLA.
Did you?
Yeah, and that was always.
But they had this one game where they had, it was a charity game where they had all the UCLA guys that had gone on to the pros with celebrities, and they split them in half. You know, half of the UCLA guys on one team, half the, and then and celebrities, and we everybody was there. And Michael Jackson, Jackie, that we used to play with them, and all the Hollywood stars, you know, and in, at Pauly and
Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye
played with us, yeah.
Huh?
You look. He said, "You're looking at him." He said, "Who was good back then? Who could really play?"
They used to call me Wilt the Stump.
Wilt the Stump.
When we were touring, we'd go around to the YMCA's.
Yeah, we'd like pick up games.
They probably, and we got some of the best comedy there. One time we're playing a couple of ghetto guys, you know, and this one brother's coming down and he's holding his finger up like one, and his partner goes, "What the fuck's that, man?
Gotta play you right.
What's that mean? We got a play that I don't know about."
Yeah, I don't want to play with people like that. I don't want to be honest with you.
So hold on. Back to Jack Nicholson driving down the wrong way on Manchester heading to the Forum. That ended safely.
Apparently,
no trouble.
Oh, hey, oh, Mr. Nicholson, come on, right in.
Would you like to drive on the wrong side on our street?
Oh no, it was.
What was the Forum like back in the day? Because we've had Magic on here. We hoping to get Kareem, but we've heard legendary stories about the club inside the Forum and Showtime. The game and the cheerleaders.
Oh yeah.
Well, the worst thing, Jerry Buss, the owner, he was one of the people, man, and he never had a box. Mm-hmm. He had seats with the people, man.
He was touchable.
So we did say, "You want to sit with Jerry Buss?" "No, man, I want to see the game."
Yeah. we had first row seats.
Oh, did you?
All Showtime, you know. It wasn't the ones on the court, but the next aisle, there was an aisle. But we had those seats for a long time, and all the Lakers were our buds, you know.
That's really cool.
That
was fun.
One time I had a friend that had seats at the Clippers when they were like –
They've kind of practicing
in the high school gyms.
Right, they've always kind of been like this.
And I was at a game on the ringside one time, and Charles Barkley was the other guy. And I saw that Barkley could get affected if you heckle him. But you got to heckle him properly. And the way to heckle him, especially your ringside, talk on your normal voice because they can hear everything. And so I'm sitting there and I say, "Watch Barkley, watch him. He's ball hogging. He won't pass the ball until it's too late. Watch." And the next thing you know, he passed the ball when it's too late. And then Barkley got so pissed. And I'd do it in such a way that I wouldn't be looking at him. I'd be
just talking.
Looking somewhere else. Yeah. And so Barkley didn't know where it was coming from. And he came over to the guy next to me. "I'll fuck your mama. I'll fuck your, I'll fuck your wife."
Yeah.
So then he went away, and the guy's looking at him like that. So he started coming down again. I started heckling him again. He goes, "Shut up."
Yep.
Yep. What was the comedy scene like in LA as you guys are, you know, climbing the ladder?
It was bubbling, man. There was a lot of comedians out there, you know, because there was these comedy clubs started appearing. We were in one of the very first one. It was like right on Sunset Strip, and all tiny little rooms. But there was a ton of comedians out there, man. Everybody, but we were the only kind of hippie-ish. Talking about weed or what was going on in the scene, so we were unique in that sense. You
know? There's a place on Sunset called Canopo's, and it was right. It was a steakhouse, and the owner, the kid, the father, the son of the owner, decided he wanted to get into comedy, and so he got a microphone up in the steakhouse, and they had an upstairs where you could use as a dressing room, and so he'd have like about six or seven comedians. And so we joined the group. But when we did a bit called The Dogs, no, forget, this is a steakhouse. And the dogs were smelling each other's butt. And it was so funny and so shocking, but it's still a steakhouse. People are still eating.
Still eating dinner.
The waitresses would get embarrassed. They would run outside when we did the bit because it was so rank.
Right.
In fact, we got paid 50 quid in London not to do the bit.
Yeah. Oh, really? They paid you not to do it.
Not to do it.
What was the joke?
It was Ronnie Scott's.
Ronnie Scott.
Ronnie Scott's.
He said, "Hey, boys, great show. Here's 50 quid. Don't do that bit." Don't snoop.
Leave that one out. I mean, you guys were against the grain from a standpoint of cannabis and movies and your bits and your stand-up. Was there pushback at all, or it was fuck it? I mean, you guys are doing motion pictures.
Well, I went to jail.
Weed in the 70s.
I went to jail for 9 months.
Off that.
A bit of a pushback.
Yeah.
Some might say. Being Chong.
Right.
Being Chong, basically. Yeah. Everybody else got house arrest or nothing.
So I had the good sense not to be Chong.
You were the other.
Yeah.
What we
attacked more than anything right from the get-go was racism. That's what we attacked. We changed the conception of Chicanos with the headbands, you know, being the gang.
Him the headband.
The gang guys, yeah. And we did it purposely. Like my character in Up in Smoke was a rich Jewish kid, you know. And here I am, you know. And
rich Chinese
that's how
kid.
We met.
What was
a rich Chinese kid? Yeah.
What was your cousin's name in that movie that you went to go
Red.
See at the house?
Red.
Yes.
Yeah, Red.
Yeah.
Dwayne Mendoza.
Yeah.
Dwayne Mendoza.
You guys on
Red
a mission to find some tree.
Yeah.
What's his name? The actor Tom Skerritt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Tom Skerritt.
No, I was Red.
Oh,
the
other character.
No,
movie.
Yeah, no. What was it? Strawberry. What was
Strawberry?
Strawberry.
That was Tom Skerritt.
Strawberry. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Strawberry was Tom
yeah.
Skerritt.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, he's still alive.
He just is 90.
Yeah, he's in his 90s now.
Wow.
Just got to get my crack here.
There you go.
Legal crack.
What y'all remember about Pee Wee Herman?
Oh, he was the greatest. he was the best. Pee Wee Herman. He was a member of a group called the Groundlings, which was a very first improv group in L.A.
They're still here.
Yeah, they're still there. I mean, and everybody came out of the Groundlings. And so we saw them and kind of raided the whole company and put them in our movies. Pee-wee Herman, Edie McClurg, Phil Hartman, all those guys, we put them in the movies. And it was because they knew how to play improv. You know? Mm-hmm. They were jazz musicians. And comedy. And so we got along great, you know. And Pee Wee was great. He had that character right from the beginning.
Always. Interesting.
That wasn't the only thing he did, but he had that character right from the beginning. And we just, okay, well, hey, put that character here and be the clerk in the office or be the guy on the stage, you know.
So
it worked out really well. He was a funny guy.
How easy was it incorporating cannabis into your movies, into everything?
We got away with it because it was over before anybody could do anything, you know. You know, in and out. We never really smoked. We never broke any laws, you know.
Yeah.
Did you guys really smoke weed in the movies, though?
No.
In between takes.
Okay, so it wasn't takes. Any of the
but
shit the, you were
but the real
camera?
Stuff was Indian. Okay. No, we couldn't.
Okay.
It was stunt weed.
Yeah,
stunt weed. It was horrible.
Horrible.
But we would get smoked before the take, and sometimes they'd say, okay, we're rolling, and we'd be, yeah, we're rolling too.
Right.
And so we would miss the cue, and they're run, and back in the day it was film.
Right.
And so they were wasting all this money on film, and they're, are you guys ready? Oh, yeah, okay. Then we'd wake up and do the shot.
How much would be ad-libbing and how much would be script once you guys kind of start going?
50-50.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
But we'd ad-lib on the script.
Right. Put your touch on it.
Because that scene in the car, we did that every night on stage.
Right.
But there was stuff that we did for the film that we never did before. Mm-hmm. And it was only captured because we were doing it on film.
Gotcha.
But we would improvise all those parts. You know, it's like taking I Want to Be My, say, play my funny Valentine, but Miles Davis plays it different than my funny Valentine. So
and all the actors that we had were phenomenal writers as well, you know.
They're good improv
like Stacy Keach, Sergeant Stadenko, he basically wrote his
and his
bits.
Troop and his bunch and, of and guys.
He put his own jokes in there. Yeah, you know? Yeah. Hey, what do priests eat on Friday? What kind of meat do priests
eat? I don't know. Tell us.
None.
None.
See us coming along.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Cowie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The year I was born, 78, Up in Smoke, you turned a small budget into $44 million and earned two more films. This is the year I was born.
Really?
That's how long y'all been smoking.
And that's how much money they said they made.
Yeah.
Right, right. That ain't even actual
how
number.
Much money they really made?
Right, right, right.
That's crazy to think.
Woo.
You put on a lot of people. What does the trilogy rank in your eyes?
Up in Smoke, definitely. I like next movie, too. It's actually a funnier movie.
Yeah.
You know, laugh for laugh. And what's the one you like?
Still Smoking.
Still Smoking.
Still Smoking has all our old bits that we never got around to shoot a movie about.
Yeah.
And so we put them in there. And we knew that we wouldn't be doing those bits anymore. So like the Invisible Wrestler and all those great bits, man. Mm-hmm. They're classic.
You mentioned going to jail. Were you in jail with Jordan Belfort?
Yeah.
talk to us about just your guys' back and forth and kind of friendship and how that kind of turned into.
Well, he wouldn't French kiss right away. It took a while.
It took a while.
Little and I just told him, it's just like slam, sushi, man.
No, he was great, man. It was the other prisoners that had problems with him. You know,
yeah.
I had no problem with it. Wasn't anybody, you know, I was a celebrity.
Yeah.
So I was like Jesus walking around. And I had everybody. The warden, one time we shot a podcast for the documentary and we were using the warden's office in the main building. But you know how movies are, you know, you're the king, you know, so. So they were setting up, and I could hear the warden and them walking around in the other room. So I yells, "Hey, quiet in the set! We're shooting in here!" And everybody got all quiet and tippy toe. And here's the warden tippy toeing around for no reason, man. You know, just that.
Right.
Here's one of his con men in there telling him, fucking right. with him.
I'm running shit now.
Yeah.
Being that both of you guys are basically trendsetters in the stoner comedy space, but it's just really comedy. Do y'all get offended when people say stoner comedy? And did it affect y'all relationship with being the face? Like so many people judging y'all and saying different things, did it ever affect y'all relationship?
No,
not really.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't get into Disneyland one time because I had a T-shirt that was obscene. You know, and I held a grudge for a while. And in fact, when I got offered to do Lion King, I said no.
Yeah.
And I missed out.
Brilliant
on it.
Move there.
Right.
Hey, Tommy, you see this check I got from holy Jesus.
Right.
But no, the racism. I realized myself, you know, over the years, I was really brought up as a white supremacist, you know. Seriously, I had all my friends from the country, and even though I was found out now that I'm part Native, I was half Chinese originally. You know, that's what I started.
But
out.
Not anymore.
I'm not more anymore. Now.
Originally,
but it was always racism that we encountered. You know, that's my brother is 3 years older than me, and he fought going to school and coming home. You know, and that's the way it was back then. You know, you'd look at the toughest guys would see each other and make a date and go out in the back and fight, you know. And it was brutal, you know, coming up like that. And when I was a teenager, I saw the trend was to become a pachuco. Pachuco is a Mexican gang. Guy, like, the zoot suit, you know,
the
baggy pants,
blood in, blood out,
yeah.
Zoot
and they always had a zoot tattoo
right there in the middle,
right there. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because tattoos are like advertising for criminals, you know. Yeah. You'd have the
show
the
me your white supremacist
teardrop.
Tattoo,
and so my white supremacy tattoo, my house was also used as a halfway house
for guys getting out of prison,
people getting out of jail. And this one kid,
now you guys
fuck
with us for being honest.
And he gave me this tattoo.
Wow.
See? It's a white supremacy tattoo.
He didn't know it was just a tattoo. Hey, I got a free tattoo.
And I didn't know it. I didn't know it for years until I was on TV down
you were
south
in jail.
Somewhere.
You know the guy told you.
No, it was on TV.
It was on TV, oh really?
On television. And the guy looked at me, a biker. He goes, "That's a white supremacy tattoo." Really? Oh shit.
But it was free.
No, but I put it up here. It's a homemade
needle.
They would take needles, put them together over a pencil, and stick it in India ink, and then jab it.
That's a good way to stay healthy.
Yeah.
That's what
hurt
down there. So I was going to get it covered up, you know, change everything. And my son, Paris, goes, "No, Dad, that's OG. That's art. You
that's
don't
because
mess
it was OG because one wing's bigger than the other." Right?
What year was that? What year did you get that tattoo?
That had to be 50, probably 55, 56.
That was 20 years before you were born. It was 23, actually.
Yeah, a little bit of time.
In the 50s.
Yeah.
Hey,
all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a lot.
For real. Movies like Friday, Half-Baked, Harold and Kumar.
Yeah.
All cult classics. You have to feel like y'all pioneers of that.
Well, of course.
Okay,
right?
Yeah. Of course.
And all those guys come up to us and tell us that.
Yeah.
Everybody was in every one of those movies. Chris Tucker, you know, I met him on the road. Oh, man, we used to, you know, I'll do you guys all the time. So, we were big in the black community always.
Yes.
Because we grew up in the black community.
Right.
You know, and other communities, but black people really related to us. Yes. It wasn't just because of the weed. It's because we played that kind of music.
And the struggle, too. And the struggle y'all went through. Yeah.
And growing up in Calgary, it was really hard to be around black people. Mm-hmm. Both there of were them. None. There were like five families. And I swear to God, and then when I started dancing Lindy Hop, and of course, my partner became this really good dancer, black girl, and she was the one that introduced me to the football player Tommy. And then we had a show one time where Tommy and her would dance, and we'd play music, and you know, we did a floor show with that. You know, so my introduction was more like schooling, you know, because it wasn't just I had black friends, man. Mm-hmm. I had a name. I got to the point where I got my own racist name, you know. Hey, Chinaman. that's what Bob Marley said. When we met Bob Marley, it was in a dressing room with smoke filled, and all of a sudden I hear, hey, Chinaman, say something funny, man.
Bob said that to one of his friends.
No, it was Bobby.
Bob said it.
Hey, Bobby, turn him up. Say something funny. No, he was there on their own deal. No, but everybody else. I mean,
right.
Sure.
No, we had. No, I got, I earned my
your stripes.
My prison sentence. I earned it, man. Yeah. You know, I went through it. And that's why Motown, you know, that's, when I see Smokey, now Smokey gives me big hugs, man, because he knows that I was in that secret songwriting little
cadre
club that they have, you know, and I got in there, you know, when you get one of them Motown stars to record your song, you know.
Everybody recorded Diana Ross, the Jermaine Jackson, Stephanie Mills, the Harlettes. You know who the Harlettes are? They were the backing group for Bette Midler.
Okay.
It was Bette Midler and the Harlettes. And in that group was the girl who was on Katie Seagal.
Oh.
Katie Seagal from Married with Children.
Yeah.
Linda Hart, who was co-star, was my girlfriend in Tin Cup. And a Norwegian or a Swedish girl. But they recorded and had a hit.
Mm-hmm.
How Does Your Mama Know About Me, too?
Mm. You guys obviously came out the gates once you connected with a lot of success. You guys parted ways for a while. We don't have to get into that part, but what I want to ask you guys as being able to come back together, what did you learn about yourself during your guys' time apart?
Hmm.
Well, you can't make it in California without a Mexican.
That's right.
I mean, and I don't care what you're doing. Yeah. I don't care what you're doing.
Oh,
and
man.
It took him that long to figure it out.
And sometimes you'll say, are you Mexican? And the guy will go, okay.
Yeah. Spanish.
And then his friend will say, he's from Guatemala.
You're in LA, you're a Mexican.
Because there's racism amongst the clans,
absolutely.
Too. Man. It goes everywhere. I appreciate the fact that we broke up long enough so that we could become individuals.
Okay.
You know, instead of just being, you know, relying on someone there that's always there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this way you have to do both parts yourself, more or less. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that, and I respect it too. You know. I respect the aloneness.
Yeah, being able to stand on your own,
yeah.
on your own, then come back together just makes it strong, makes both of y'all stronger.
Yeah.
It's like we, you know, when we came back together, it was like we never left.
Right.
I mean, it was like, he said, come down here and join me in this club in La Jolla. There were, you and Shelby were doing a club. And I said, come on and just sit in with us. Okay, so They go on stage, they start the thing, and then they, I don't know if you even announced it, and I just came through the audience and got on.
I don't remember.
I know they went crazy.
God said, wow. And we never rehearsed, never even talked about it.
That was your guys' first time back together?
Yeah.
Wow. Never 20 years.
And boom. And we just killed it, man, you know. And so it's okay.
Like you never left.
Like we never left.
I read at times you guys would, you know, kind of have some conflict off the stage, but when you came together for your act, it was like, no one would ever know.
Yeah.
And exactly. What do you guys attribute that to? Just your willingness to get the job done or?
Greed.
Greed.
I indulged his
My
need
son
for
would
a
say,
Mexican.
You know, you're doing fine, Dad, but you know what you could make if Cheech and Chong were back together? And so my son actually got us back together.
Is that right?
Because we had a meeting and it didn't go that well. You know, we had our old argument came out. Yeah. But then I text Cheech and I said, you know, it was nice seeing you. I hadn't seen you for a while. It was really nice seeing you. Mm-hmm. You know, too bad we couldn't work things out. Well, my son intercepted my email and he wrote his own in my words.
Please, hey, I'll do anything.
Yeah. Hey, let's get together and we can do this and that and everything else.
Really?
And so then my son told me, he said, first of all, he said, how'd it go with Cheech? I said, oh, not so well. He said, he's coming over. You're back together.
Wow. Beautiful.
It's happening. I said, what?
He
said,
out to your son.
Then he told me what he did. I got your email. And I'm glad he did.
Yeah. Tell your son the world says thank you.
Yeah, we do.
My ex-wife got a hold of my emails one time and did some things she shouldn't have did. So luckily your guys worked out in a different way.
It did. I've heard those stories. We used to talk before they rolled the film. Sometimes in movies, we'd be talking, blah, 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 blah. Hey, you know, they got the camera rolling here.
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, shit. Let me straighten
up. And then we'd
up.
See it at dailies, you know. Okay.
That's funny. Stigmas throughout over the years about cannabis and how do you feel like the progress, over the last few decades?
Oh, it's everyday use. I mean, it's, you know, which is more popular, beer, weed, you know, I mean, it crosses every single line, race, gender, anything, old, young. I mean, you know, there's guys that are 100 years old still smoking weed, you know, so it just enters into every, and the fact that it does changes your perception.
Well, it's
I want to be that guy.
Yeah.
It's a burning bush.
You're on a good path.
100 years old still smoking.
You're on a good path for that.
Yeah, it's a burning bush that is mentioned in the Bible. You know, when Moses took a hit of the burning bush.
Burning bush.
And God talked to him. And God said, hey, Mo.
Yo.
Pass that.
Yo, Mo.
Pass that, Snoop.
This bud's for Jews.
Oh, man.
That's dope.
Shit. And that's how it got in the Bible.
That's how it got in the Bible. That's fun.
Well, the Bible was written on hemp paper.
Yeah, there we go.
All the signs were there.
And it was medicine 4,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's medicine now.
Still medicine.
It's never stopped being medicine.
Do any of you guys still consume?
Well, yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I do.
So after,
what's my job now?
So after we can consume together?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So Blaze one up with Cheech and Chong. Yeah. Oh, you gotta be able to say that.
Even if we just blow the smoke on you.
Okay.
Blow it up his butt.
Jack got him.
Mine don't work anymore.
Jack got that job.
Jack got him. One question. The strength of the plant from when you guys first started getting it, it used to be hard to kind of come across a good weed back then, obviously. You guys always had it?
No.
Or you guys kept it on?
We always had Mexican weed, man.
But the strength from then to now?
It's much stronger now.
Yeah,
I mean, much stronger because they're breeding it for that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they didn't. Weed was weed. You get a brick like that with a dead rat in the middle of it. Yeah. You know. I mean. Yeah. Yeah, we specially bred this. No, it was just you got whatever was in there.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're specifically blending it for raising it.
It's
for
a
that.
Science
so,
now.
Do you like some of the stronger stuff?
Oh yeah.
Do you like some of the stronger stuff?
Yeah, because you don't have to take as much.
Yeah, exactly.
When's the last time you bought weed?
I don't know. I was in my youth.
I bought weed 2016.
Really?
Because it was a little vendor thing, and you put money in, and
Oh, really?
You just wanted to try it out, huh?
Yeah, I had to do it.
Really?
And that's the only time I've ever bought
it. I can't remember.
I got a friend now. He's a grow freak, you know. Mm-hmm. Stacy Keach's brother.
James
Keach. He's crazy about growing everything. Mm-hmm. And so we give him some marijuana seeds. Here, mm-hmm. put this in your garden and see what happens. He's growing the best weed, man.
Oh, really?
Malibu.
Interesting.
And James says, yeah, I give it to my friends and they keep coming back for more.
Yeah. I think the best
weed. Well, don't feed them, then they'll stay away.
Really? Yeah. Right.
Because of the climate?
I don't know what it is, but it's like John Michael Vincent, you know who is mm-hmm. the actor? Mm-hmm. So he was my buddy, and he comes over one day, and he has these two plants. He says, hey, I'm growing 100 plants over here at my place, and so I'm going to give you two.
All right, great.
So I put them over there outside under the tree, and I went on tour. The next day, here, a couple of days later, he gets raided, and they got all the plants, and so these are the only two that survived. And I didn't do anything to them. I just put them in pots in the ground and went on tour. And I came back. They had grown through the bottom of the pots and now they were 8 feet tall.
Shit.
And colas on them that long, wow. Man.
I'm like, magical. Wow.
And it was like Seaside Sensimilla. That's what we called it.
Well, did we use them in the movie?
Yeah, I think so. We did.
Yeah, we used them in.
Really?
Next movie?
Because I had them, you know, then I go crazy.
Nice Dreams.
Nice Dreams.
Mm. With a swimming pool and.
And so, mm-hmm. I didn't do anything, nothing to it, you know, not even water it.
Uh-huh.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, want to have a little fun with this next segment, feel free to just blurt out your aunt, the highest you've ever been. Do you remember where you were, who was around?
That wasn't too long ago.
Cheers.
I'm dressed as Nefari.
Do a show about the maddest your wife has ever.
That's definitely
all right. The maddest your wife. I like that.
Tommy, tell him the birthday story.
Hmm?
Tell him
your birthday
story. Your birthday. Oh, the 70th birthday. When I turned 70.
Yeah.
Woo.
Way back in the olden days.
We had my son took care of the dessert. And he had it all medicated, but he didn't tell anybody.
Oh, shit. That's fucking.
And we never served enough food. So when the dessert came, everybody was starving. And so everybody dove into the edibles. And next thing you know, there are people throwing up all over the place. And they couldn't figure out what's going on.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah. Oh, it was just crazy. Paul Reiser and his wife were there. And next thing you know, Paris is my son's ex-girlfriend, kind of wild young chick. She's in there promoting a threesome with Paul and his wife. And they're going for it.
She's feeling good.
Everybody's going for it. So it was crazy.
It was good
week. Passing out. Oh, it was fun.
Wow.
It's going to be a biopic.
Yeah.
We're going to do a movie about
it. I love it.
Because that's what we're from now on, after we release our documentary,
uh-huh.
it'll be biopics. And,
yeah.
And we'll go back and Cheech's history, my history, you know. We're right back to the Aztecs and Africans, you know.
If you guys ever need a great guy right here, my guy Deion Taylor, this is his office, but he makes movies. He makes the best movies. So
if you
need some help.
We're going to be dealing with
it. Y'all need a stoner brother in the movie. I'm ready.
Oh, yeah, you're the brother.
I'm ready, I'll be the stoner brother.
You always have a stoner brother in the movie.
I'm ready.
He could be Charles back in the day.
You got holes in the knees, though. That's the only problem.
I got to take some holes in the pants.
And right here. Remember, he used to have the holes in right here, too. Who would want to smoke off? And you back in your heyday, when you guys are in your heyday, between you guys, Snoop, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa, Be Real.
Who would we want to?
No, who would want to smoke off?
Oh, who?
When you guys are in your heyday.
What do you think? Maybe Willie?
Neither one of us were any.
No.
Oh, it wasn't like
it's all an act, man.
It was all an act.
I swear to God, man. It was all an act. Yeah. I got a little breath mint that I do now, and it's only 10 milligrams, you know, and that'll any more, it'll put my ass in there.
But even back in your guys' younger days,
It wasn't about quantity was about the quality. Because people would give us stuff all the time. That's why I've never bought any weed in these years, man, because I got mountains of it wherever you go.
And we're musicians back then, and musicians.
It goes hand in hand.
You never bought. People would either give it to you or
you, and you just pick a
stand next to the guy that had it, you know, waiting for your turn.
Right.
You know, that's all. And back in the day, they used to make what they called pinners.
Mm-hmm.
It was marijuana dust, basically. And you roll them in the tiniest little pinner. But it would be good for musicians because you didn't get too stoned.
Too fucked up.
You know, you just get that little buzz, that little memory, because that's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Pat Morita used to keep that little folding pipe in his in his underwear?
Like a one-hitter?
Yeah. There was a little pipe, and it had... Pat Morita, you know,
I've heard the name.
Actor Mr. Miyagi.
He
was a stand-up. Man.
Was he?
The Hip Nip. That was his it was Japanese.
It's crazy what used to fly, not to cut you off, what used to fly back then, like what you can say and what you can, and how comedy has evolved into, like, you can't really say anything right now. Oh, yeah, I've heard his Red
That's
Fox
his boy.
Impersonation.
Who? That was his boy, Red Fox.
Pat Morita?
Yeah.
They were all in that same thing. Man.
Well, Red gave him money for his house or something.
Yeah, gave him some money.
Yeah, I remember that. No.
Yeah, he was kind of a mentor a little bit, you know, when we first met him to us, because he was a professional comedian at the time. Man.
He did something to me that I'll never forget, man. The night before I'm going into jail, I just finished talking to my lawyer, who actually told me, I can't talk now, I'm watching the Laker game. And he hung up on me. Next thing I know, I get a call, a phone rings, I pick it up, it's Pat Morita. And he's Mr. Miyagi. And he says, you're going to be okay. You're going to be fine. You know, just take it, do what you got to do, you know. And he just gave me that. It was
a little pep talk.
Yeah. Serendipity.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I knew he was going to be okay in jail too. I mean, I knew he was going to be fine because he grew up with those people.
Yeah,
I mean, so did I. My dad was a cop, man, so I grew up with all the juvenile delinquents. You know, so you know how to navigate.
Well, we were
in
jail together one time.
Yeah,
really,
in Tampa.
Tell us about it.
Well, okay.
They busted Jim Morrison earlier because he showed his wiener on stage, you know, and so they
Lizard King.
And it got dropped for lack of evidence, by
lack of evidence.
Good one.
And so they came up with a $5,000 performance bond. And if we got any trouble on stage at all, the promoter got $5,000.
Mm.
And so with Cheech and Chong, they thought for sure they're going to grab some money. And so we did our whole show, no problem. Except at the end, and the cops were lining the stage as if the crowd was going to riot or something, you know.
Standing in front of the stage.
And so we're doing the dogs, and Cheech is on his hands and knees, and he walks over to one of the cops that were facing away from him and picked the cop's hat up with his teeth like a dog and goes running back. Well, the cop did not think that was funny. And so they're on the phone saying, we're busting Cheech and Chong. And then all the cops started, hey, I want to bust him. I got all their records. You
know? Right, right. Let me be a part of this.
So they ended up taking us to jail.
Yeah.
And at first, you know, we're still off the show. We're still happy. And after a while, we're sitting there with all these other people, man.
They kept dragging people into the holding cell unconscious and dragging them out.
It was a holding cell, for drunks.
The longer you sit in that cell, the highs start coming down.
Oh, well, yeah.
Reality starts to set in.
Oh, yeah. And then they separated us. At first, Cheech was being funny. Cheech is still this guy, blonde cop, you know.
Big guy.
And he goes, oh, jail 10D. Oh, jail 10D, could we have some pink toilet tissue here, please? And we're fucking in jail, man. And then next thing you know, the guy at the cell, jail 10D, comes up to Cheech and says, you come with me. And all I heard Cheech saying, my dad's a cop.
You know, got that out of it. You get in the elevator, they're going to take you up to the second floor, they put you in the cell. And you get in the elevator, and it's like, you know, metal, the whole thing. And there's big dents all over this fucking thing, man, on every wall. And this guy's looking at me. And you get up to the second floor, and it's noisy. and it's hot and it's fully lit and everybody's rah, 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 rah. Okay, here we go. No, don't put me in the lion cage.
Shit, man. Real, right? Exactly. Shit got real.
Yeah, awful quick.
You guys kind of crossing so many barriers on your rise to fame. Who were some people that you thought like, damn, I'm smoking with? Obviously, they probably thought that about you guys, but were you guys in awe of anybody? You know, you just told a quick Bob Marley story, but anybody you guys were in awe of when you guys got a chance to sit down?
Oh, I used to smoke up with George Harrison all the time.
George Harrison.
The Beatles.
Oh, wow.
George. Yeah, George's a cool guy. One day I'm smoking, we're smoking, and next thing you know, the joint gets passed over to Tony Dow. You know Tony?
Leave it to Beaver.
Leave it to Beaver.
Oh, shit.
He was Wally.
Wow.
He was Wally.
Yeah. Wally, I'll leave it to Beaver. Yeah,
and he turned out to be a sculptor. He's an artist, you know. And so the three of us were there smoking weed.
Wow.
George played on
the Beatles bass.
What tune did George Harrison play?
On ours? Yeah. Basketball Jones.
Basketball Jones, yeah. Mm-hmm. Talk about Basketball Jones.
Yeah, he's the good lead.
George played the intro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he was in the studio at the same time we were. And so, hey, George, do the intro. He said, yeah, all right. And they said, do you think they're Cheech and Chong? And what do you say? Someone said, what do you think of Cheech and Chong? And George said, I suppose they're funny.
Yeah. My favorite guy was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And
was this the Showtime days?
And my wife and I, Ricky, we lived at his house when I was making up and smoke.
Oh, really?
Because I didn't want to go all the way out to the beach every day, and I was like, because my call was early. Mm-hmm. So he moved us into his guest house back there, but he was always been a friend and for.
Yeah.
But he had a long reach. Yeah. He could reach across the table, man. One time we took him to Dharma Grib, this Morocco restaurant, and they bring all his food, a whole chicken, and he reaches over the whole, and he grabs the whole chicken, and looks like that in his hand. Right? Okay, thank you very much. What are you guys eating? Yeah.
This is mine. What are you guys going to eat?
No, he really is. That's a very smart, intelligent,
we would
guy.
Exchange weed if we had different weed. And yeah. One day, in fact, the day that Elvis Presley died, I got a call from Kareem almost the same time. I'm watching TV, Elvis is dead. Kareem says, hey, man, come on down. I got some weed. And so I walked down. I lived down the street from him. I walked down and I got to the mailbox. And I went to ring the bell and the mailbox lid opened up. And this big hand came out with a big bag of weed.
Get the fuck
at
out
the
of
end,
here.
And I said, "No, oh, thank you." And I never saw him.
Oh, you didn't even see Kareem. He just wanted to give you some weed.
I just got the weed.
I got the weed.
Okay, Kareem.
It was like Lurch came out of the thing.
I guess you're not dressed yet. Okay, I'll catch you later.
I'll take this back to my house.
Yeah,
yeah.
But wasn't that weird? Elvis died, and soon after they were having everything on television was Elvis, and my daughter's friend was Lisa Marie. They were best friends at the time. And so they're showing Elvis on TV and I'm sitting there and my daughter and Lisa are playing in the behind us. And when they showed their dad, I kind of looked to see how Lisa would react. This is her dad.
Right.
She just glanced at it a little bit and then gone. Mm. She did not relate to that guy.
Wow. Interesting.
It was weird. So, and sad too. Mm.
Coming up, who's y'all first celebrity crushes?
Celebrity crushes.
Celebrity crush.
Celebrity crush. Wow.
What do you say?
Celebrity crush?
Crush?
Who was the first guy you went out with?
He's thinking.
It make more sense why we dress because we act. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You're an asshole just like that.
And they're dressed alike.
Right? Exactly.
There's a reason.
Celebrity crush. Oh, God. I don't know. Annette from the Musketeers.
Ooh, Musketeers.
Ooh. She's developing in there. Musketeers.
Mine would be Susan Sarandon.
Really?
Yeah. Remind me of who is she?
Bull Durham.
Pretty Baby.
Susan Sarandon.
Atlantic City.
Yeah, okay.
That's her real name.
Rocky
Sarandon.
Horror Show.
Rocky okay. Horror Show, yeah.
She was the original.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I see why he didn't get your name right for a little while, though, right?
I'm used to it.
Right.
One of your guys' favorite snacks or munchie when you guys are really on one? What's a go-to snack?
I can tell you now because my used to was X-rated. So
we don't mind sharing that.
I like ice cream.
Ice cream?
I like ice cream. It's bad for you, but I like it. So,
what about you?
Pistachio nuts.
Really? Interesting. Yeah.
Because they're good for the eyes.
I was about to say healthy on the healthy side. I'm thinking they're
good for the eyes, and they're salty, so it makes you thirsty. So,
we forgot to ask you about your daughter.
Which one?
Ray.
RD. She's here.
Legend.
Yeah. Oh yeah. She's here. She's here. She's having a struggle with her career now. You know, a little bit. You know, she's hasn't worked for a while, but she's here and she's doing well, and she's
that's good.
Happy. She's my oldest daughter.
We asked about her.
She always, she's the most talented of the gang, you know. Always has been, right from the beginning. She was crazy. She used to give advice at 3 years old.
Life
marital advice.
Right, life advice.
You know, she was, what did they, Bo Diddley call her a mannish boy. What did he call a girl?
Mannish.
You know, the mannish boy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What would be the girl? I don't know.
The girlish man.
Bossy. Bossy.
Bossy.
Yeah. Bossy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely that.
Yeah.
No, she's good. And her her son, Morgan's doing really well. And Morgan married a Chinese girl, so I got
cross-grandkids.
Yeah. Rainbow.
Retro breeding.
Rainbow.
Beautiful.
Oh, I got a beautiful family now. As does Cheech, too.
As crazy as this world is, who do you two guys think would benefit from smoking?
Oh.
From smoking?
My mother-in-law. Bob? My mother-in-law? Yeah, she, because my wife is Russian, born and raised, and so my mother-in-law speaks no English and blah, blah, blah. And she's always honest about something or something, and she roams the refrigerator. She opens the refrigerator and stands in front of it for an hour and looks and sees so whatever thing. And so we had some edibles out there in the desert, and her daughter tells them to do whatever you do, don't eat anything in the refrigerator. Just, you know, ask me and I'll get it for you. And we come home one day and we're on the desert. She's in front of the refrigerator looking and chewing. At the same time as she found the brownies, man, and went fucking right to them. She's like, you know, old and Russian and can't. Natasha, my wife, tells me what she did. I said, so what should we do? She says, well, let's see what happens. And so she was just like, cool. So it was time to drive her home. And I says, wow. How long is Sunset Boulevard? It's like, says, oh, mom, you take good. It every day. So we did. After a while, we told her, and she got this kind of gleam in her eye. And so, where was that again? What was that, the candy or the thing? So she wanted to go. But the most surprised I've ever been in my life, she speaks no English. No English. I mean, she's been here 20 some years, and to say, I want a glass of water, it's a half an hour to get that out. and so we're at the table. This is during COVID, and we're at the table, and I went out and got some Chinese food. Came back, distributed all around. We're eating Chinese food. It was great. At the end, and I see her reach into the bag with a fortune cookies. And she pulls one out and cracks it and whoops out the thing. And I say, and we call her Bob. In Russian, grandmother is Babushka, not babushka, babushka. So I ain't saying that every time. So you're Bob now. And so he says, hey, Bob, what does your fortune say? She goes,
you will have a very auspicious day today as the third trimester of your baba.
The fuck? And I said, well, this is a setup, man. You know, the daughter put, read another one. And so I says,
what a glorious day that you blah, blah, blah,
blah. She reads the whole fucking thing. That's in hard language too. She took English in college in Russia. She can read it, but doesn't understand what she's reading.
Wow, that's
but
crazy.
Read it perfectly. And I sat there like, what?
And she can use firearms, right?
Oh yeah, she's a great shot. And can throw an axe too.
KGB.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. KGB.
Yeah.
I believe it.
In America.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I'm that's what I'm thinking.
Those are her book club meetings, huh?
Huh?
She goes to book club meetings and sharpens her tools.
Yeah, that's what she does. That's just funny because her family, they're all geniuses.
Did you guys have a particular strain you liked in your heyday?
I liked weed.
Just in general.
Yeah.
That's it.
That one they call weed, I like that one.
My favorite was anything given to me by a naked woman.
Even better.
I feel you.
What was your guys' favorite movie you guys did? Each of you guys. Your favorite movie.
That we did together?
Yeah, together.
Up in Smoke.
Up in Smoke?
I mean, it's the first one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What do you like?
What about
your favorite?
What's your favorite
movie?
I liked them all.
She liked them all. I liked them all.
I liked, all of them. All of them had something. Up in Smoke had everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wildest place you've been on vacation?
Pacoima.
Pacoima.
Where is the wildest place you've been on vacation? You've been a bunch of places.
Pacoima.
Pacoima.
I'm not joking, man.
It was a vacation, like, you know, with palm trees and shit.
Well, to me, Palau, you know, the island of Palau, that's...
it's off Guam. Guam?
Yeah. It's Guam. 200 miles from Guam.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's off. It's skin capital. You know, you can... those giant shells that you see in Disney movies, you know?
Clamshells.
Yeah, clamshells are there. I was out with a local one time with his boat, and I found a clamshell, and I struggled with it, got it up. You know, I had to swim underneath the water. He got it up, put it in the boat. I went back down. All of a sudden, I hear a splash.
it was back in.
My shell. The boat captain. Nah, I don't want that shit in my boat.
Right.
He threw it up.
Palau.
No, that was crazy. That's very, very native.
I like Costa Rica. I used to go to Costa Rica a lot. That's real. It's real jungle, you know, where we used to go. So that was cool.
This is the final question. If you could see one guest on our show, who would it be?
On your show?
Mm-hmm.
Who'd you want on their show? Ray Don.
Ali Wong.
Yeah, yeah. She would be good.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
As long as we're doing
You might have to x-ray a few things.
But this is the second part of the question.
Yeah.
You have to help us get your answer on the show.
Yeah, sure.
We'll love
Cassandra Peterson.
We'll love to have her.
Cassandra Peterson is Elvira.
Okay.
Elvira.
Okay.
She was part of the Groundlings.
Oh, really?
Too. She was one of the original Groundlings. And she was also a Las Vegas showgirl. She used to go out with Elvis.
Ah. Yeah. Elvira was,
Oh, man. And she's a beautiful girl, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would get a lot of stories out of her.
That's cool. Well, man, we appreciate you guys' time. Thank you. It was an honor to be able to sit down and share some time for you. Man, that's a wrap.
Burn one.
Cheech and Chong. You can catch this on All the Smoke Productions and DraftKings Network. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace out.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream.
Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.